Thank you, Lisa and Zach, for leading our liturgy through Psalm 107, which recounts over and over how the Lord rescued his people. Throughout the psalm, it repeated this phrase, "Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind." Psalms 105 and 106 are also history psalms, and I chose Psalm 105 for our meditation today because of how well it resonates with our fall stories from Genesis that reveal how God is bound to his people. Through all their frailty and brokenness, God's love and promises remain steadfast, and God continues to work wonders in their lives. Psalm 105 recalls these stories, reminding God's people and all of us to praise God and proclaim the wonders of how God keeps his covenant promises. I'll begin with verses 1 through 11, and then I'll summarize parts of it, and then I'll go to the end. Listen to Psalm 105. "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit." And Psalm 105 continues, recounting the stories of Abraham's descendants, the people of Israel. The Lord protected them while they wandered in other lands. The Lord led the Israelites into Egypt and raised up Joseph. The Lord made his people fruitful despite oppression in Egypt. Through Moses and Aaron, the Lord worked wonders in that land. And finally, the Lord brought Israel out, and Egypt was glad when they left. And then verse 39, "He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws." Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If it had not been for a snow day last Sunday, we would have finished our preaching series about God's grace in the midst of human brokenness. As we read those Bible stories, we also reflected on the circumstances and people in our own lives. In a couple of days, Pastor Joel will conclude the series with a message entitled, "The Face of Favor." And I hope I'm not stealing any of his thunder by saying we have seen God's favor in so many ways. And this Thanksgiving Day is a good time to give voice to the wonders he has done and give thanks and praise. Psalm 105 focuses on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, reminding us that God made an everlasting covenant for all their descendants to bring them to the land of promise. And in our stories this fall, we saw that God's promises to the people he has made go back even farther than Abraham. So with grateful hearts, let's reflect on those wonders again. God breaks into our dark world with the light of his love. As with Adam and Eve, God tenderly covers our shame with grace instead of sending us out into the world naked and alone. and God hints at a promise that one day their offspring would make everything right again. God puts his seal of protection even over broken sinners like Cain and like each one of us, so that when we walk out into new places among unfamiliar people, we are not alone. God placed a rainbow in the sky as a sign of the promise to Noah and to the world that waters may rise and storms may come and we might make a mess of things. Yet because of God's compassion and grace, the earth will not be destroyed. And God can do a new thing in creation and within us. God came to Abraham by torchlight in the nighttime to confirm the promise that Abraham and his descendants would become a great nation, and all the world would be blessed through him. One of those descendants, a son of man and son of God, brings restoration we all long for. God saw the tears of Hagar, and God sees our hurt and sorrow. God comes to us with tender provision, even when difficult circumstances continue. God reaches from the splendor of heaven, stretching a ladder down to the exhausted Jacob and to each of us who are running from trouble. And God offers amazing grace and the glory of his presence to help us find new life. God fills the empty places in our hearts and lives with unexpected blessings, as Leah received sons who moved her heart to praise the Lord. The Lord does not always give us what we long for, but in each circumstance, God does visit us with grace and favor and blessing. As we remember how God worked in all these stories, as we reflect on the challenges and God's provision within our own lives, I hope we are moved to give thanks for the wonders God has done. That's part of what's going on in Psalm 105. This psalm was probably written for Israel much later, after the kingdom of Israel was established in the promised land. They were conquered, and they had to live in exile. And maybe they wondered whether God had forgotten them. So Psalm 105 addresses this crisis of faith by reminding Israel that God has acted, and God has kept his covenant promises throughout their history. It shows how God rescued them from Egypt through signs and wonders and brought them to the promised land. As they remember how God acted in history, as they saw God's grace and favor and protection, they were encouraged to look to the Lord and his strength for their present needs too. For a people who had nothing, God provided everything. As Paul puts it later, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever." Christ Jesus is that descendant of Abraham who fulfills the covenant promises, who brings salvation, and who shows us how to live in obedience to the Father. Psalm 105 ends with a fitting response to God's gifts of rescue and redemption. Observe his laws. Obedience and praise are how we express our gratitude to God, and we are to make known the wonders he has done. This week, I read another marvelous testimony about how God can work through even the most challenging circumstances and shine the light of his love into hardened hearts. A story from the Calvin Prison Initiative tells how Curtis Fry grew up in a neighborhood ridden with violence. He says, "I learned from a young age that I got accolades from a lot of the older kids in the neighborhood from acting out. One night, to protect his tough guy image, he pulled a gun. And that decision led to a second-degree murder charge and a life sentence. In prison on one bad day, first a chaplain visited and then his mom, and he gained just enough hope to keep living. He started reading his Bible and examining his life. He said, God created some fertile soil for change. I didn't know what that was going to look like, but I think I was ready. And he started a correspondence course. Later, he transferred to Hanlon Correctional Facility, where he found the Calvin Prison Initiative of Calvin University. He says, they taught how what you are learning relates to the biblical narrative and to creation and to God's mission for us. And he thrived in that community. And in May 2022, Curtis Fry received his bachelor's degree. Reflecting on his changed identity, Fry says, before, I derived my value as a human being from what other people thought of me. But now I derive my value from the fact that I am a human being made in the image of my Creator, that I have inherent value, that my value comes from Him. And this has led him to reflect with gratitude. He says, an attitude of gratitude is not just a fleeting thing, not a noun. I think it's an embodiment. It's a way of life, he says. There comes a point where you have to make a decision. Are you going to be miserable or are you going to move on? I found that being grateful for any little thing, whether it's a cup of coffee I have in the morning or the presence of a good bunkie, a cellmate, when you have an attitude of gratitude, it makes the big things so much greater. He concluded, I think people would get along better and there would be a lot less problems if more people had the attitude of gratitude. So today, let's take a lesson from Curtis Fry and from the writer of Psalm 105. As we look at our own lives, may an attitude of gratitude grow within us. Even in all the broken places, God remembers his promises. God visits us with grace, and God provides unexpected blessings. Young adults, children, young people, all people of all ages, let's look at this past week, this year, the story of your lives, the history of Neyland Church, and see where God is acting and proclaim it. You've already written expressions of thanks on those little leaves. I imagine there's more you could say. I hope you will take time today, whether in a phone call with a friend or talking around the table with your family or personal journaling, take time to share the ways that even through brokenness, God has shown love and grace and kindness in your life. And as Psalm 105 says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, remember and make known the wonders he has done.